next Monday. Thanks to Mike and Michelle for their contribution to the show, and thank you to Andrea for her contribution. You've been listening to Good Morning Huntington on HuntingtonBlueRadio.com. Stay safe, folks.
Is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Somebody that spent so much of his life, you know, giving joy to people.
Awesome. Thank you so much for the list, Mike. Have a great Labor Day weekend. We'll talk to you next Friday.
All right. We'll see you then.
All right. Take care. It's Mike at the Movies, good friend of mine, giving you three good movies. We'll be right back with more of Good Morning Huntington right after this.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The first hurricane to make landfall in Florida in over 10 years is now a weaker tropical storm, but still causing some big problems, as we hear from correspondent Angela Anderson.
There is heavy rain, flooding, and tens of thousands in the dark. Governor Rick Scott urging all residents to be safe.
We can rebuild a home. We can rebuild a business. We cannot rebuild your life.
The storm expected to move into southeastern Georgia this morning.
The storm will also impact the mid-Atlantic and could be just off the coast of New York City later this holiday weekend. Records of who Hillary Clinton met with during her time as Secretary of State will be coming out soon. After initially saying it couldn't manage to release them before the November elections, the State Department has reversed course, now saying it will release those records in mid-October, before Election Day. This is USA Radio News.
Remember when a small business needed a landline? Today, landlines are a thing of the past with Grasshopper, the entrepreneur's phone system. On the road, at the beach, or at home, Grasshopper helps you grow your business. Get all the features of a business phone system and the freedom of a cell phone with our iPhone and Android apps. Features include multiple extensions for your team, calls forwarded to your mobile phones, voicemails transcribed and emailed, and so much more. See how it works at grasshopper.com, the entrepreneur's phone system.
Welcome to Staples.
Staples guy. I need some more school supplies for my son.
Staples has everything you need for back to school at low prices every day.
Great. He needs lots of mechanical pencils.
Your son a big writer?
No, a big loser.
What?
He loses pencils, backpacks, everything.
There's gotta be another word we can use.
Back to school supplies are back for more. Staples has everything you need for back to school at low prices every day. Like Staples one subject notebooks for just 17 cents. Staples, make more happen.
While supplies last, ends 9/17, limit 30 in store, 10 online.
See, if you don't do something about it, you're gonna have taco trucks every corner.
That's part of an unusual warning issued by one of Donald Trump's Latino supporters about what will happen if the Republican presidential nominee is not elected. Here's his full comment.
My culture is a very dominant culture, and it's imposing and it's causing problems. If you don't do something about it, you're going to have taco trucks every corner.
It's Mexican-born Marco Gutierrez, the founder of Latinos for Trump, who made that comment last night on MSNBC.
And embarrassing accidents, odor, or infections. Call 800-280-1335 today. The call is free and confidential. Call 800-280-1335. Call 800-280-1335. 800-280-1335.
The investigation begins into a parent's worst nightmare, a horrific, deadly school bus crash in Tennessee.
Right now it appears that one contributing factor may be speed.
Police Chief Fred Fletcher saying at least five children died, more than 20 were injured when their school bus left the road and slammed into a tree in Hamilton County. Bus driver Johnthony Walker being charged with five counts of vehicular homicide, among other things.
We made an arrest in the capital murder of Detective Benjamin Marconi.
That's San Antonio, Texas Police Chief William McManus announcing the arrest of a suspect in the death of a detective who was murdered on Sunday evening. He's identified as Otis Tyrone McCain.
This is the person whose image we saw on surveillance.
The 31-year-old suspect was arrested without incident during a traffic stop Monday. As he passed by reporters on his way to be booked, McCain reportedly said he was upset over not being able to see his son due to a child custody dispute and wrongly took it out on the innocent police detective. This is USA Radio News.
Marilyn brought her famous holiday ham with a side of wet coughing. Probably shouldn't eat it, but there goes your husband. Soon everyone's sniffling. It's the flu, but you're not going to get sick because you got your flu shot at Rite Aid, where they care about you and your health. So while they suffer through their sore throats, coughing, and aches, you'll teach your granddaughter to make your famous snickerdoodles. Mmm, it's not too late. Shield yourself with the flu and pneumonia shot at Rite Aid. If you're over 65, the CDC recommends both. It's free with most insurance and no appointments necessary. Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Flu vaccines available while supplies last. Age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacy for details.
A 6.9 magnitude earthquake striking off Japan's Honshu Island on Tuesday. It reportedly triggered some small tsunami waves. No major damage reported, though. Mixed reports about a meeting that Donald Trump called with top broadcast media executives yesterday. Trump spokeswoman Kellyanne Conway described it later as very candid and honest. But while specifics of the meeting were supposed to stay off the record, the New York Post is citing sources as saying the president-elect ripped into the representatives from ABC News, NBC, CBS, CNN, and Fox News. One source claiming Trump repeatedly said he was in a room full of liars. In New Jersey, nearly 100 members of Newark's religious community will be hitting the streets with police. Ethan Harp looks at a major expansion of what's called the Citizen Clergy Patrol.
Catholics, Christians, Muslims, and Jews are some of the faithful hoping to help Newark build trust between police and the neighborhoods they serve. The Clergy Patrol will ride along with officers between 4 p.m. and midnight. They'll help cops with counseling and consoling victims, also making visits to hospitals and schools. And they'll be hard to miss in special yellow and white cars instead of Newark PD's usual black and whites. Ethan Harp, New Jersey.
And rapper Kanye West's in the hospital. The Grammy winner taken to an L.A. area facility for observation after police made a medical welfare check on him yesterday. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Good morning. You're listening to 100andchamberradio.com. It's 11:03 and time for Chamber Radio weather. It's currently 39 degrees here in Flemington. For this afternoon, mostly sunny skies with a high near 45. A little bit windy out there. For tonight, mostly clear with a low of 25. Tomorrow, Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high near 45. And then it's looking like Wednesday night there's a slight chance of rain, but then turning into some mixture of precipitation, perhaps some freezing rain and sleet. Right now, the chance of precipitation is about 30%. Moving into Thanksgiving Day, where there is a chance of snow, freezing rain, and sleet early in the morning, perhaps then changing to rain. New snow and sleet accumulation of less than a half an inch possible, so hopefully it will not hit us at all for the turkey trot on Thanksgiving morning. Thursday night, looking like a slight chance of rain, otherwise mostly cloudy with a low of 36. Friday, chance of rain, otherwise mostly cloudy, warming up near 51. Friday night, mostly cloudy with a low of 37. And so far, the weekend is looking like there is some more chance of precipitation, otherwise somewhere in the 50s. That's 100andchamberradio.com. And now we'll kick right into some things about money here on 100andchamberradio.com. This is Michelle Heide. With me, Joe Patton, both certified financial planners with Patton, Heide & Associates. We have some special guests here today. And before we go into that, I know Joe wants to give a quick market update.
Well, absolutely do. And good morning to Michelle and our guests. But first, before I give the market update, I just want to give some acknowledgement to my partner, Michelle Heide. This morning at the 100 and Business Vitality Breakfast, Michelle was the recipient of the Women's Business and Community Leader Award. So congratulations. Well done.
Thank you. I was more excited to hear the amazing kids in business with their neat businesses that they have going. You know, a couple of the high schoolers and then the younger kids that were, you know what, all of like 5 and 8 that came up with this game.
Incredibly
and these apps.
talented
kids out there. So anyway.
Let's do the market update, Michelle. Currently, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is at 18,981. That's up 24.62. The S&P is at 21.99. That's up $1.18. The NASDAQ is sitting at 53.77, up 9.52 points. Over in Europe, the FTSE is sitting up 58.86%. The DAX is up 0.4%, about 47 points. And the CAC in France is up 32.70. So green there as well. Oil prices? Well, oil is just a tad green above the break-even point at 48.26, up 2 cents a barrel. Gold prices are down, down a little bit this morning, down $2.20 an ounce to $1,207. And the 10-year Treasury yield has slipped just a bit, down to 2.31%. So, Michelle, that's the update.
All right. So I'm excited to have Marianne Bauer and Laura DiMarzo on our show here this morning. They're here to talk about collaborative law. And so, actually, I will start by having each of them introduce themselves. If each of you want to share a little bit about your background.
Good morning and congratulations, Michelle, on a well-deserved award.
Thank you.
I'm a family law attorney with a practice in Lebanon Borough, and I'm a trained collaborative law mediator, arbitrator, and divorce attorney. I've been practicing for 29 years. I love what I do. I've seen a lot of changes over the years, and we're moving toward a kinder, gentler divorce, and that's what we're here to talk about today. Thank you for having us.
You're welcome. And Laura?
Hi, Michelle. Again, congratulations as well. I'm a psychologist for over 29 years in the Hillsborough area, and I'm also a certified divorce coach, and I work with families to help them come to a better resolution, and I'm very excited to be here today.
All right. Well, again, welcome. And for full and fair disclosure, our listeners may or may not know, I am also collaboratively trained as a financial. So the three of us, like I said, I'm excited to have a conversation to discuss collaborative law with our listeners, which up to this point in the 100 and County area has primarily focused on divorce law, although we're starting to hear more and more about civic cases. But, you know, from my perspective in the financial world, you know, all too often I was seeing folks come to me post-divorce, you know, in many cases starting from scratch, initially saying, oh my gosh, the amount of money we spent and, you know, all these issues and the children. And it was always a very challenging and difficult time for many folks. And so when I heard about collaborative at this point, gosh, it's probably been, what, 4 or 5 years ago, maybe even longer than that. I was like, wow, this sounds amazing. Because if there's a kinder, gentler approach that is good for the entire family unit, you know, it's a win-win for everybody. So not only does everybody walk away feeling much happier and much more confident, you know, when they take a look at their finances, you know, it's also a nicer approach from that perspective as well, I guess I can say. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, what are some of the options for folks that might be thinking about divorce?
I like to look at it like it's a spectrum. So at one end of the spectrum, you have litigation. Litigation is financially and emotionally costly. You have a judge making the decision for you. It takes a long time to get that decision. And you really give up control over the outcome of the most important things in your life, your family, your children, your money. At the other end of the spectrum is what we call a kitchen table settlement. If you are able to sit down and resolve the issues yourself, more power to you. Most people need a little bit of guidance because their divorces are a little more complex than being able to sit at the diner and resolve it over a cup of coffee. closest to litigation, again on that spectrum, is something called arbitration, where you select an arbitrator who makes a binding decision. So again, it's a great process for those who are unable to reach an agreement, but you're giving up control over the outcome. And then there's mediation and there's collaborative law. Mediation is a fabulous process. You have a neutral party, a neutral mediator who assists in the resolution of the issues in your divorce. You also, each party is still required to have an attorney because the mediator is unable to give legal advice because they are a neutral. So typically you have three attorneys resolving the divorce issues. Collaborative law is a wonderful process because it's a team approach. So while each party has an attorney, we involve other team members. I like to tell my clients that there are three components to every divorce: the legal component, the financial component, and the emotional component. And they're all very important. So while I can address the legal component, financial experts such as yourself, Michelle, are best addressing the financial issues. And Laura, mental health experts and coaches like yourself are trained to best approach the emotional issues. And I found that that achieves the best result for the family.
Okay. And so, Laura, from your perspective as a coach, how do you get involved in the process? When are you brought into the process?
There's several ways you could be brought into the process. For years, I didn't even realize I was actually doing divorce coaching before it became much more popular in New Jersey. It's been very big in New York and California for years. And just over, I guess it's been a year and a half since the bill has been passed in New Jersey. So all attorneys are giving that option as part of the process, not only to mediate or litigate, but to collaborate. And I think getting the word out is very important because it's just a much more peaceful resolution. So you could be introduced to the idea of using a divorce coach through other mental health professionals mm-hmm. that have clients that have reached a standstill with their marriage, and they want to know how to best tell the children or how to best tell each other and without causing a war. So I can get through therapists, through word of mouth, but right now the largest proponent of my referral system is attorneys mm-hmm. who are very family focused. And what I've noticed is many attorneys really want the best outcome for families, but because their head is full of all they need to do for the case, legally and review and be there for their client, using a divorce coach help with that emotional roller coaster really is helpful for them to guide with communication. So to get back to your point, it appears much more that the word is getting out by educating the attorneys in the community and other paraprofessionals like yourself.
Right, because I can imagine, whenever I chat with one of the divorce attorneys, I say, gosh, at the end of the day, you must be exhausted because there's so much that you have to deal with the clients on a day-to-day basis. And again, you're very good. You're an expert in the legal field. But a lot of times, as happens with Joe and I as well, clients, come to us for financial reasons, but then other times other issues arise, whether it's legal documentation, whether it's, maybe they're having some issues and talking to a coach might make sense. But how do individuals select the best option for them?
I would say in a well-informed client, an educated consumer is the best type of client to have. So programs such as yours, and attorneys explaining the options. There's a website for the New Jersey Collaborative Law Group. So my recommendation is that the clients obtain as much information as they're able to and then have a meaningful discussion with their attorney to determine whether or not the collaborative process is the appropriate process for them.
Right. Because it seems like, again, it seems like this would be a great solution for many, many people. But again, as we all know, too, there are some situations where, unfortunately, perhaps things can't go through a collaborative process, but as you mentioned, the education piece of it, because I think most people still think of divorce as this litigious, everyone gets nasty and mean, and, you know, without really thinking that, you know, as you mentioned, you know, it's up to the judge to decide. And, you know, it's interesting because people say, oh, well, the judge will like me and they'll, you know, they'll give me what I want. Well, guess what, folks? That's not real life here. And so having the right team, as you mentioned, having the right team in place to make sure that you're being educated on what your different options are so that you can make the best decision for you and your family, you know, does make a lot of sense. So a lot of it does start with the education. And again, it's for most people that are thinking about divorce, it's at a very emotional time and they may not even know that these options are available. And as the three of us have discussed before, really our role is to try and get the information out to the public. It's not like people are necessarily going to show up at a local workshop because they're, you know, they might be afraid, oh, what if somebody I see, you know, somebody I know sees me, then they might think I'm thinking about divorce, whatever the case may be. But really getting the word out through the attorneys, the financial professionals, the coaches, the mental health professionals, so that as they're seeing clients and as we're seeing clients, we can make them aware of everything that's out there.
Right. As Laura said, the New Jersey Family Collaborative Law Act was signed into law last year. So attorneys are now required to advise their clients that the option exists.
Right.
Actually, it was 2 years ago that the law was signed, but a year ago that we were required to advise our clients of the collaborative law process.
Exactly.
Is there any particular conversation that you would be required to have in that context? Because it occurred to me that, you know, as an attorney, you do have an obligation to do what's in the client's best interest. You have that fiduciary responsibility. When is it appropriate for the attorney to advise for or against the collaborative process if they happen to have a strong opinion themselves?
The court rules require us to discuss all available alternate dispute remedies. So the discussion that I just had here on the radio about the available alternatives is the same discussion that I have with all of my clients so that I'm fulfilling my obligation and they understand the options that are available. And often it's not until you sit down at your first meeting or you send the clients for what's called a process consultation that Laura will discuss that you know that it's the appropriate route for them.
I could just imagine, though, so many of these people in emotional distress over this process would rely heavily on the opinion of their attorney as to which process to choose.
They do, and it's an awesome responsibility to make sure that you guide them in the right direction. The War of the Roses cases and attorneys who fuel litigation, that troubles me. Because really the damage to the clients and the family lasts a lifetime. Those children, you know, wind up in dysfunctioning relationships because of their terrible parents' divorce experience.
Well, what could be done with that? Because we run into that situation often where people will even forego the process of divorce because of the advice of the attorney to really play hardball and do things that originally were not the intention of the couples involved, yet the attorney steps in and for whatever reason makes it extremely contentious. Is there any recourse to stop that, or are you just at the whim of the attorney's advice?
The recourse is to educate the general public so that they know that a divorce does not need to be conducted in that manner. And if they are civil and make responsible decisions that are respectful of each other, respectful of their children, that the process will take a less of a financial and emotional toll on their family, and moving forward in the future, they will then hopefully have gained a skill set that will help them make future decisions.
Well, I hope more people listen to that conversation because, quite frankly, I'm, you know, my 34 years tired of having people come in and say, well, my attorney said we're going to really get them. And I'm not quite sure what that means, but I'm assuming that we're going to be able to get all of their money or whatever the case may be in that situation.
Yeah, but if I can speak to that, because I think that's a really good point, that we have created a climate in New Jersey for adversarial relationships in terms of even when you are divorcing, thinking that, you know, you never did this right when you were married, and now thinking that you're going to do it and with respect is really an expectation that is faulty. And to expect that attorneys that are trained to really deal with the practicalities and to they really don't understand the emotions, and it can be very complicated. I feel the way to get in, just like California, New York did it, I meet and I go out into the public and I meet with the attorneys. Most of what I notice is it's just coming from a place, it's a habit. It's a long-term learned habit that just go for it. And they get fed by their clients that say, even though they don't have any money, they're going to just make their partner pay. Perhaps that's triggering their own self, their own relationships in their life. I'm able to cut right through the BS and just say, look, you're on this emotional roller coaster. You, if you really want to get off of this, in the end, you're going to come to the same financial conclusion, but you're going to be paying over $100,000 more just because you want to get even. I feel the way to get in, as I was saying earlier, is having these attorneys educated, meeting them face to face, explaining what I actually do. It's a conversation. So if this particular attorney says to me, how's this going to happen? You know, we got to make them pay, or even one that has a reputation, you think, of escalating matters, I will show them a different way, in an educated way, and not in a way that you can still see you're going to get the results, but with less aggravation on your part. And I am noticing over 80% of the cases I talk to, like clients who have done litigated, they never heard of collaborative divorce, and they so wish that they did. So I think educating the clients, going out and talking to lawyers, and when I do talk to attorneys, Marianne and quite a few attorneys have given me what's called process consultation, or financials have given me process consultation. Right. Oh, I know you have these attorneys, because, you know, we don't want to badmouth anyone, because you're hearing one thing, you don't really know what happened in that room.
Right.
Would you be interested in, it's not therapy, it's a process consultation with a psychologist who's knowledgeable about divorce, trained in mediation, and understands the process, and will help guide your communication so you could have an effective conversation with your spouse and your children about the end of your marriage. You never were able to do this before with your communication. You can't currently do it because that is why you're divorcing. Let me help you. I do a free consultation on the phone also as well. Then usually I'm able to get them in. At this juncture in my career as a coach, I've gotten many referrals from Marianne that some were not collaborative at this juncture. There may be mediating cases or actually litigating cases. And they are, once they come, it's the first time they've ever talked in the room together. And it's incredible how we're able to have a conversation and settle some matters. So it really can begin with the process consultation and just letting the expert do what they do. So if that attorney believes in what I do, again, I don't second guess what they do. If they believe in it, it really helps. And I think if the public doesn't see it as therapy, that also helps. Because unfortunately, that's another question that you're going to have for me, I'm sure.
Stigmas out there that, oh, I don't need to see a therapist. Right. There's nothing wrong with me. It's all him or it's all her.
I've heard that
and it ruins the whole process.
Right, exactly. And as you mentioned, coming to it as a coaching perspective, because as you mentioned, a lot of people divorce because there's a communication breakdown, when it winds down to it. So having someone such as yourself that has the unique skills to be able to get people that maybe were never able to sit in the same room, actually in the same room, having a conversation, being that neutral person that can help them communicate and each state what they want without each other interrupting and bad mouthing and all that other stuff. I think that's huge. And I know that as part of the collaborative community, we've discussed how important it is to include a coach
in the overall process. I mean, there are cases where a financial is needed, but I think that the most important professionals in most cases are the attorneys and the coaches to get to that ultimate result of, you know, a win-win for everybody. So in terms of the role of a financial neutral, as I mentioned that term, so in the financial professional arena, financial professionals can be brought into the collaborative process as a neutral. And what that means, as you can tell by the name neutral, is it's allowing a financial person to come in and provide complete objectivity, just taking a look and analyzing the financials and providing guidance in terms of what would make the most sense from a financial perspective for each of the spouses moving forward, because there might be things that they haven't thought about. You know, rather than just saying, let's take everything and split it 50-50, well, gee, perhaps in one situation, husband or wife gets to, you know, a larger percentage of an IRA, and the other person gets a larger percentage of the stock or the house or whatever the case may be, depending upon what their individual objectives are. You know, and it's hard for the two parties. You know, they've been together all this time, and to now think about themselves individually can sometimes be challenging. Going through the cash flow statements and being honest with what you're actually spending can be quite eye-opening for a lot of people. And then trying to determine, well, gee, how much do we think we'll need moving forward if it's a smaller household? And then it's having, instead of one household, you're having two households, but still the same types of expenses, and making sure that all of that's addressed as well. So it's acting, again, as that neutral party, coming in and providing that expertise to complement what the attorney is providing and complement what the coach is providing. In certain circumstances, a financial might be brought in, not necessarily as part of the process, but to help one of the parties understand some of the financial concepts and things like that. Because even though we've come a long way, there are still situations where, you know, one spouse may not know anything about the family finances. You know, maybe one person took care of the checkbook and the investments and everything else, and that other person might be feeling like they don't have enough information. So having that outside consultation and just explaining the basics so that they feel a little bit more confident as part of the collaborative process with participating in those conversations, you know, feeling like there's not one person dominating the other person with what they're looking for. So that, again, everybody feels much more comfortable and the end result is better for everyone. One of the questions that does come up often, because we hear this a lot, because in our world, you know, focusing on comprehensive financial advice, we think it's important for clients, you know, to have an attorney, to have an accountant, to have other professionals that they work with, and we're part of their team. And a lot of times, as soon as you hear the word team, people, dollar signs start popping up. Oh, this has got to be more expensive because there's all these people involved. Well, how does it work in the collaborative process? You know, how about we dispel some of those myths that are out there?
Certainly. Structured properly, collaborative could be a less expensive alternative to litigation, because in litigation, there are countless hours that are just spent standing in the halls of the courthouse, waiting to see a judge, waiting to see the early settlement panel, where the collaborative process is organized in a very professional way. You develop an agenda so that when you sit down at the meeting, you know the topics that are going to be discussed. The professionals do their a fair amount of work outside of the meeting. You know, for example, Michelle, I've sent clients to you so that you could help them determine whether in buying out the other spouse, it would be better to use a mortgage or to use other assets. Mm-hmm. So, and I've also sent another client to you so you were able to help her determine what price range house she should be looking for.
Right.
So with that type of behind-the-scenes work going on, and when Laura meets with the clients to help them get their emotions in check, when you sit down for the collaborative meeting and you're talking about equitable distribution and the various alternatives, and you're encouraging the clients to have an open dialogue about what the options are and what would work best for their family, it's a very efficient meeting because everyone's coming to the table well-informed, From a financial perspective, emotionally, they're in a good place. Mm-hmm. So we sharpen our pencils and we make a great deal of progress in a very civilized manner.
Right.
That then carries through when the clients leave the meeting and they're treating each other more respectfully. It's all good. It's a win-win for everyone.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We are going to take a short break. We're already at the bottom of the hour, which I can't believe. We're going to take a short break, check in on the news and the weather, and then when we get back, we'll dig in deeper to collaborative law. You're listening to Some Things About Money here on 100andChamberRadio.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President-elect Donald Trump apparently will not be making good on his campaign pledge to investigate Hillary Clinton's use of a private email server as Secretary of State. Here's correspondent Sarah Jacobs.
Trump's former campaign manager Kellyanne Conway tells MSNBC the president-elect does not wish to pursue charges against either Clinton or the Clinton Foundation.
The president-elect posting a YouTube video outlining his plan for his first 100 days in the White House, something he's not mentioning there, his promise during the campaign to build a wall along the southern border. He does say on the issue of immigration,
I will direct the Department of Labor to investigate all abuses of visa programs that undercut the American worker.
As the busy Thanksgiving travel period dawns, parts of the Northeast are buried under nearly 2 feet of snow. That's especially true in northern New England and parts of New York State. This is USA Radio News.
Did you know that dogs and cats can develop diabetes just like humans? Many pet owners don't know, but it's a manageable condition. That's why experts are raising awareness during November, Pet Diabetes Month. West Coast-based veterinarian Dr. Courtney Campbell.
Proper management is the key to maintaining a happy and healthy pet with diabetes. It's also critical to work with your vet to determine regimen and routine. With good care, nutrition, and plenty of exercise, a diabetic pet can live as long as a pet without diabetes of the same age and gender.
Dr. Campbell says the first step for pet owners is recognizing if your four-legged friend has any signs.
Some signs of pet diabetes include drinking more water than usual, urinating more frequently, and always acting hungry. If you see any of these signs, you should speak with your veterinarian and get your pet tested as soon as possible.
For more, visit PetDiabetesMonth.com. This message brought to you by Merck Animal Health.
It's 11:31 and time for Chamber Radio weather. It is currently 39 degrees here in Flemington, New Jersey, and it looks like for this afternoon we will have mostly sunny skies with a high near 45. For tonight, mostly clear with a low of 25. Tomorrow, it looks like tomorrow night there's a chance of some bad weather kicking in terms of some sleet and hail perhaps into Thanksgiving morning. Right now it looks like they're keeping an eye on that potential storm as well, so let's keep our fingers crossed that we have a nice clear Thanksgiving day. Thanksgiving night, mostly cloudy with a low of 36. Friday, chance of precipitation, cloudy with a high near 51. And it looks like for the weekend, there's a slight chance of some rain on Saturday, but otherwise mostly sunny skies with a high in the 50s. All right, and we're back to chat with Marianne and Laura about collaborative law. And actually, before we dig back into our conversation, if each of you can please provide your contact information to our listeners in case they have any specific questions themselves.
Sure. I can be reached by phone at 908-236-8204 or by email at Marianne, M-A-R-Y-A-N-N, at MariannBauerLaw.com. That's MariannBauerLaw.com.
All right. And Laura?
I can be reached on my cell phone, 908-642-0258. My website, sanedivorce.net, and my email is lauradimarzo@comcast.net.
All right. Well, thank you. And actually, while we were taking the break, Joe brought up a good point because we were talking, you know, before the break, we were talking a little bit about expenses and how when people don't really want to do something, they tend to just focus on the expenses. And that's so true. Laura shared a statistic where people who don't have money spend an average of $30 a day on nothing. You know, it might be lattes, a donut, whatever. And people who have money spend close to $70 a day on nothing. So, you know, if here's a way to make things much more efficient, you know, there's an agenda, there's a focus, even though there are more parties involved, it can end up, as we all discussed, it can end up being a lot less expensive than a traditional litigated type of divorce. And Joe, you had a really good analogy in terms of, you know, kind of a similarity to what's happening in our business, because sometimes, again, not to pick out one profession from another, but in some cases, attorneys, even though they are required to talk about collaborative, might also be looking at their own pocketbook and figuring out
billable hours.
They have
an obligation to their firm. After all, it's a business, just like medicine is, financial services. And the comparison I was drawing is the Department of Labor fiduciary standard, which many financial companies were pushing back on, talking about how it was going to be more expensive, it was going to cost them in the long run to work under this higher standard, providing more disclosure to their customers. And, you know, for people who are credentialed financial advisors who have been working under the standard for years, like Michelle and I, we understand that this is in the best interest of consumers, and ultimately it will save them money. It'll save them on tax dollars, it'll save them on transaction fees, and then in the end put more money in their pocket to use for their retirement or any other important goal that they have. But to get the rest of the industry on board with this is very difficult, because what they see are lost dollar signs. Merrill Lynch decided to do away with commission sales. 12b1 fees are going away for many financial advisors, which are marketing fees paid to them by the mutual fund companies to use their products. And, you know, to them it's just loss. I can imagine that in the legal profession, something like this might be threatening in terms of the firm's ability to bill those billable hours.
That's a great comparison, Joe. In my personal opinion, do I bill less hours on a collaborative case? Probably. However, when I look at the bigger picture, let's take a motion, for example. If parties can't decide an issue, like, for example, interim spending, how are they going to pay the household bills until the divorce is finalized? You can file a motion. And, you know, $5,000, $10,000 later, you get a decision from a judge. Or you could sit down in the collaborative law setting and have a financial neutral, such as Michelle, get a better understanding of what the finances are. And Michelle would have some input into that process. And then Laura would assist the parties with their emotions. You know, is everybody being treated fairly? Are you properly communicating what your needs are? And then as the attorney, I would be working with my colleague. I don't like to use the term adversary. And we would be sitting down with the parties at a meeting so they would have a better understanding. They would be presented with the alternatives, and they'd be able to make their own decision as to how their finances should be structured, which is a much better alternative than having a judge force a decision on them. And in the long run, even though you had attorneys and a financial neutral and a coach involved, it probably would cost less than the motion. And the outcome would not only be a more positive resolution that the parties had came to themselves, but it would also be a learning of a skill set that helps them to then resolve the next bigger decision. How do you distribute your property? How do you organize and structure support?
Right.
So all said and done, it's a much more favorable consumer-friendly process.
Exactly, because I would even think, again, you know, when you look at something that's litigated, 9 times out of 10, they end up in the future, you know, for instance, when the kid graduates from high school, who's going to pay for college? You know, things come up, or, you know, support, other issues, and again, having to go back and file motions and things like that, versus coming out of the collaborative process, you know, there might be the occasional thing that pops up, but then being able to sit and talk about it, whether or not you even need to get the attorneys involved at that point, you might have such a good relationship in terms of the whole family unit that you might have better skill set at that point by having gone through using a coach and things like that. So,
and that's a really good point. I want to bring that up. So if we could put the energy into making families first, it really is a habit that our world has gotten into that we think we have to fight for everything. You know, as you know, a lot of people scream their points, yell their points. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you, but I stop listening completely when anyone raises our voice. 80% of people do not hear people when they're loud and aggressive. So we're still helping people find their voice, but in a collaborative, cooperative manner. It takes some work, and it does take some role-playing. I get them in a place where they can actually talk to the attorney and be in a place that they can negotiate, mm-hmm. Rather than try to just, you know, fight it out. The other thing I'd like to really speak about, which is so very important to know, there are large hidden costs. I always tell, since I've been in private practice as a psychologist and I have a group practice, so I've come in contact with lots of patients over the years, so I can see the harm that it happens with families and with the children that are products of the divorce. And most of the time, they're in my waiting room, and they are adults now that are part and parcel of a very ugly situation, or they were part of a situation where they didn't learn to communicate their needs. They settled. Oh, I should have asked for more. So I think that there are these hidden costs of how you live your life, being afraid of further relationships, having health issues because you have psychosomatic results. Mm-hmm. You know, you may have causes that are clear and evident medically, like asthma, but it's exacerbated by psychological symptoms. Mm-hmm. You're helping your whole life, and you're also helping your children. There are websites you can look at. The effects of divorce on children, how they keep it so quiet, but they write online how they wish mom and dad could just get along. It's over already. Why do they keep talking like this? Right. And I try to get them to not talk about the why so much, but to what can we do now? When I talk to families, what can we do now to make it a more peaceful? And I give suggestions, and I do role-playing. And just one other point, when I do my coaching, I form a relationship. They have my cell phone numbers. I am a neutral, giving them advice in the present and also in the future. If there is a touch point, like a bar mitzvah or a wedding or introduction of a new girlfriend, they will call me.
Yeah.
I will do, it's not psychotherapy. I'm doing guidance and help with communication, how to have that person enter into that relationship. If it appears that there's going to be some legal issues and some financial changes with alimony or proof of the boyfriend has been sleeping at the house all these years, they can have a civil conversation with me, and I could help them get back to the attorney in regards to these matters.
Right.
So the use of a coach can't be, you know, emphasized enough how it can help help the process of getting the people to talk to the attorneys and to their financial.
Right. Right. So, I mean, bottom line, again, to kind of dispel the myth that's out there that, oh, if we have this team of professionals, it's going to cost way more money. Again, financially, it will probably cost you less money, and emotionally, it will cost you a lot less in terms of the effects of divorce, both on you personally going through the divorce, and also if you have children, the potential effects that it can have on them, you know, by having a much better relationship from the start. And I like what you pointed out in terms of, you know, let's not focus on what happened. Let's focus on moving forward in a peaceful manner so that we can get through it and everybody can move on and be happy, whatever that means to each of them individually.
And they all get to choose a much better, more efficient response that is what they want as opposed to what they're being told to do.
Exactly. So, again, you know, if someone were listening from the outside, they say, well, wow, collaborative, that sounds like the best way to go. So it sounds all rosy and great, you know. So there are a lot of pros to collaborative. Are there any cons to collaborative?
I agree that collaborative is a more positive divorce experience as opposed to litigation, which is a much more negative divorce experience. In order to become involved in the collaborative process, you sign something called a participation agreement. and that's signed by all of the team members, as well as the parties getting divorced. If the matter falls out of the process, which means if someone terminates the collaborative process, then the team is not able to continue representing those parties.
Okay.
So that's a bit of a risk.
Right, right. That's a bit of a risk. So you really have to have faith and confidence in yourself and your spouse and your attorneys that the process is going to work. So for some people that might be a little bit difficult, but again, I think with the help of a coach, helping put everything in perspective, and trying to get folks out of that mindset of, oh my gosh, well, what if? Well, let's not focus on what if, let's focus on what's here and what we can do moving forward, you know, that type of thing.
Right. Yeah, the focus isn't on winning and losing. I've had clients come in and say, how many cases have you won? No one wins in divorce. It's about damage control. It's about taking a holistic approach and helping the family. It's a personal journey for everyone. You see people transition to a different life.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Do you have anything to add to that, Laura? Or is there anything else that might be a con to considering collaborative divorce?
I think with a it's not exactly a con, but there are some people that just don't need all the different players.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's part of the process consultation. They've come to me, and it may be a more simplified situation. They were able to come to an agreement without high level of usage of the team.
Right.
Right now, I don't really see anything that pops into my head regarding a con of collaborative. I think I have, my strong suit for years has been working with very difficult people, difficult situations, and just never, just keep going until I can help find a solution, even if it means to accept what's going on. Mm-hmm. So I just think, so I have had a lot of success in coaching very ugly litigated cases, and also like the hybrid cases, mediating cases, where they have never, they're getting divorced and they need a better parenting plan, or they didn't split up the personal, they forgot something in the personal property they have mm-hmm. to talk about.
Right.
They don't even want to be in the same room, but it is just magical how they do change when they're in the coaching room, that we just help them just stop all that rehashing the past, very present focus, what can you do now? And in my way, I help them see how staying stuck in the past is keeping you making really poor decisions. And if they do have children, how you're modeling that for your family. And so many people, really see, even though your parents were lovely people, some of them didn't have the best tools, perhaps, in dealing with emotions and coping. And there's like 90% of the people that come to private, work to do psychotherapy actually are trying not to be like someone that they most didn't want to become like.
Uh-huh.
There are some other pros, too. The listening audience may not realize that once you enter into a marital settlement agreement, which is the goal of every divorce, it's possible to process the divorce and get the parties divorced without them ever stepping foot into the courthouse.
Mm.
So that's a great financial and emotional savings.
Right. Absolutely.
And the collaborative process, unlike litigation, moves at a pace that's comfortable for the parties. If they need to take a break, you take a break. If they need to move the process a little more quickly because they need things resolved by the end of the year for tax purposes, you can do that as well.
Right.
Where litigation has its own pace and you lose control over the process.
Right. Again, it sounds like a much more efficient process that you have, much more control over, and the parties going through divorce also have that feeling of having more control. Even though they're working with professionals, everybody's working together for that same common goal. Versus kind of going to battle with the boxing gloves on and that type of thing. What are some of your experiences being involved in collaborative divorce? And again, I know, privacy, we can't share names or specific stories or anything, but, what's been working? What are some of the positive things that we're seeing out there in collaborative?
What I've noticed in the few actual collaborative cases that I've had, again, collaborative is, the two attorneys are in the same room and both parties are in the room, and the coach will be in the room as needed or the whole process mm-hmm. to help with the communication around the finances and the children and the settlement itself. So what a really positive experience for me is, of course, it will get heated and ugly, and people will start standing up and getting very aggressive, the parties. And just because they have a relationship with me, just being able to put my hand on their hand and we go out the room and I do a little bit of a role-playing, and letting them have that space, as Marianne was talking about, that collaborative process gives you that headspace mm-hmm. to not learn to react but be able to respond. I can't say that enough. To be able to really learn how to respond, not be right. reactive. We make such poor decisions in the heat of the moment. Mm-hmm. And this is what some of the divorces look like. They're just emotionally and toxically being filled. And collaborative is an opportunity, as well as a well-done mediating case, right. To make it just more family-focused and really think about your mental health in this process.
Absolutely.
So seeing people just very easily want to change their energy from fight to flight, to learn to take that step back, to learn a different way. So you're not going to have that family you did have, but you're going to have a new family that works for both of you. And it can be, it's really very nice when you see that they're thinking about their family.
A few Absolutely. Years ago, Laura and I had a case, and at our last meeting where we reached an agreement and a conclusion, the parties were crying and hugging each other at the end.
Wow, that's
so
great.
So that was a positive experience.
Yes. Absolutely, absolutely.
And if I could say, as a psychologist, what that is so the one party really wanted, let's say, the divorce more than the other party, which happens. So they're holding on to a lot of emotion, and a lot of that emotion really delays the divorce, which ups the cost, the emotional and the financial, and you're not doing things efficiently. And when you have that breakthrough where what are you really afraid of? Because it certainly isn't all that. Because right. in the end, you know you have to split certain things.
Right.
It's really the emotions. And once they see that that's what it is, it's a catharsis, and it can have a conclusion it's quite nice. And that particular case was wonderful.
Yeah, And I would think, as you mentioned, the emotions play a big role in all of this, and so helping manage some of the emotions is good for the people going through the divorce, and I can also imagine it's good for you, the professionals, with your mental health, because again, starting at the beginning of this conversation, I say it could be very draining with some of the litigated cases that I've heard about. I'm like, oh my gosh, that poor attorney must be, with the hours that you spend and on dealing with those types of cases. This has just got to be so much, so much better for you as well.
Oh, absolutely. It allows for creativity. And in the beginning of the process, you identify what everyone's goals are. Perhaps you have someone who'd like to retire a little bit early, or perhaps you have another spouse who'd like to stay in the house for a little bit longer than would be allowed in a litigated case.
Right.
And in this process, you can achieve those goals for everyone.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Let's see what else. We have a few minutes before we wrap up today's show. Maybe we can just talk a little bit about, if anyone that's listening is thinking about divorce, what are really some of the things before they just pick up the phone and call an attorney? Again, the education, what are some of the things that they should learn about first and foremost and be prepared for when they do schedule that first meeting with an attorney?
They could go to the website of the New Jersey Collaborative Law Group, and that's www.newjersey.collaborate.
Say that
LAWGROUP.com. So, New Jersey Collaborative Law Group.com.
I think maybe Google Collaborative Law and you'll come up with the site.
That was crazy.
Did I just win the spelling bee? Yes, exactly. All right.
Exactly.
But yes, there's a ton of information on that website, a lot of great resources. There's also a listing of all the professionals in the areas that are collaboratively mm-hmm. trained. Again, there are links to articles. There are articles on there because education, you know, as we've talked about, education is knowledge and can make everyone feel much more comfortable, and it can make divorce seem a lot less scary.
If you could address the issue of people already being in a contentious process, and they've gotten to the point where there's a stalemate. They won't talk to each other. They don't want their attorneys to communicate because every letter, every phone call is an expense. What advice would you offer them to be able to begin to move the process forward again?
I think they need to take a step back and objectively look at whether or not the War of the Roses, the litigation, is really working for them and their family. And my guess is they will come to the conclusion that no, it is not. So it's possible to move to the collaborative process and have a more successful